Rashi's told us, Ela told it Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram told it Yitzchak. So the first thing we see here, of course, is a stronger linkage of Avram to Yitzchak, not only than what we saw with Yishmael. Let's look back at the told us right before Shvi of Parashat Chayisara. Ve'era todot Yishmael ben Avraham, asher yolda hagar mitzrit shivchat zara le'Avraham. Here it's Ela todot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham told it Yitzchak. Right there. So you see this stronger connection, which we'll talk more about when the parsha talks more about it later in the parsha. We continue reading. Even though we heard about it earlier, we're mentioning it now, age, because we're using it as a backdrop to the birth. Very interesting phrase here. He davens opposite his wife, for his wife, right? Davening, the significance of davening for other people. One could say he could find other ways of having children, but he wanted it to be from her, right? Now, interestingly, here in Pasuk Chaf Bet, the emphasis, the focus shifts from the first three psukim, which are about Yitzchak, to Rivka. Again, we've been talking from Yitzchak, but all of a sudden, Vayitrotetu abanim bekirba vatomer imkein lama ze anochi. Right, she's existentialist. Existentialistic. Meaning, she has a stomachache, whatever it was, instead of just saying, wow, I should take Tums. Right, she's thinking, well, what does this mean? I think, like we were talking about with Avraham, you know, Parshas Vayera, a big part of finding what God has in mind depends on asking questions, right? Batelech lidrosh es Hashem. She goes to look for God's word. Payomer Hashem la. Shnei goyim bevitnech. Ushnei lomim imayich iperedu. Velom lom yamatz verav yavot sayer. There's a struggle going on, right? Shnei. And most importantly, the last three words. What do the last three words say? In English?
The old one will serve the younger one.
Will serve the younger one. That's very important because it answers a lot of questions. What does it answer? Which one question? Why she did what she did. That's why she did, right? Right, the birth happens. Right, you see the struggle already at the time of the birth. He knows how to do things. Which makes it understandable. Right, we understand why the Torah gives us the reason. Ki tzayid befiv. Pasha Pshat, he's, you know, bringing food. The Rivka Evet Yaakov. What's missing in Pasuk Chaf Chet?
The reason.
We're missing the reason, right? Well, why does the Torah not tell you the reason? We know the reason. Meaning, the flow of the story here is critical. What's the purpose? What's the role? What's the function of the next psukim, the last psukim in the parak, which tell the story of the selling of the Bechorah?
Finishing the beginning,
like what? And it does. It does finish the beginning. But what's the point of this? Why can't we just stop here and move on? Yes.
Well, not showing that what God just said is coming true. Now Yaakov is
the selling is coming true. Well, maybe a little bit differently. That we see where Yaakov is getting his rights from, but I think it's more than that. Let's read through it. Yaakov's cooking lentils. Esav comes home and he's tired. Esav says, yo, give me from the red, right? Gets his name based on the color of the food that he's focused on. Yaakov says, tell me the Bechor. Esav says, I'm going to die. What is this Bechor going to do for me, right? He sells it to him. Why is Pasuk Lamed Daled important? What part of Pasuk Lamed Daled is spectacular? Unique. And the first word is just describing what happened. The Torah generally presents stories without telling you how to view the characters in the story. It tells you the story and assumes that you reach your own judgment. When you read the story about Avimelech, about Paro, about Lot, you understand yourself how to view them. Here the Torah doesn't leave it to our own estimation. It says, Vayivez Esav et Abchora. Esav denigrated the Bechora. The purpose of these words is for us to come to understand that
didn't care.
Yeah, and the bigger picture of things, what does all this mean? If I understand that,
was it connected to that?
I think that's true also, but in particular, Esav is not worthy of the Bechorah. Why is Esav not worthy of the Bechorah? Vayivez Esav et HaBechorah. So, meaning, even though Rivka is told b'nevuah, we have no reason to understand that Esav should be, you know, pushed aside for Yaakov, right? But here we get that reason. So when later in the parsha, Yitzchak's going to want to give the brachos to Esav, we should all respond and say, that's wrong. That's wrong, right? When Rivka steps up, we should all say, yeah, that's what needs to happen. Here the Torah is giving you the backdrop to help you understand who is roi for the Bechor and who is not roi for the Bechor. And within the Pesukim here, we need to ask ourselves, why? You know, what was so wrong with what Esav did? And this is a much longer sicha, which I actually gave to Shana Bet on Sunday, but I think the point here is that Esav sees death as nullifying the significance of anything but what keeps you alive. Look back at Pasuk Lamed Bet. Vayomer Esav, hineh anochi olech lamut, ve'lamezeh li b'chorah. I'm going to die. So what's the Bechorah going to help me? What difference does it make? If you look at page 34 in the handy dandy, the Cheskuni says, his cheshbon was, Mimele, if I would live long enough, when the Jewish people get back into Israel and there'll be service in the Beit Mikdash, okay. And that's 400 years from now, so what difference does it make? So why is that denigrating of the Bechor? Why is Esav so viewed so badly because of that? What? He's saying it's about him.
Yeah.
Okay, and why is that wrong? So what's the wrong in it? What is life about? The values you live by, what you perpetuate beyond your life, right? That was the word on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah.
Perpetuate, right? The Ramban describes this in a very sharp term, and again, he's explaining the Torah's sharp terms, so the Ramban's sharp terms are appropriate. He says, "V'zu sibat bizul b'chora, ki ein chefetz peksilim rak sheyochlu v'yishtu v'yasu chafatzam b'yitam v'lo yochushu l'yom achar." God has no desire for fools whose life is just about eating, drinking, and doing their needs, and not thinking about what things mean long term. There are two ways to look at death. One is the reality of death nullifies any significance of life beyond living. Of course, it nullifies living too, but, and again, that's why Esav, the thing he's most focused on is
the now.
Yeah, and what in the now?
Himself.
Fuel. Esav is focused on fuel. To the point where he gets his name from the color of the food, right? Rashi, Chazal, talk about this on a much deeper level. If you look in the Pesukim we just read, twice the Torah tells you what food Yaakov was cooking. What was it?
Lentils.
Lentil pottage. Okay, there we go. Now, you know, Rashi explains that he was cooking lentils because they're round. So what? It was the day Avram died. Which explains why Esav is so morbid, right? He realizes that everyone's going to die. Now, from Esav's perspective, Yaakov's death shows... Excuse me. From Esav's perspective, Avram's death shows that no matter how great you were, you die. So it nullifies everything. What does Avram's great religious revolution mean if he dies? So he throws it all away. In fact, Chazal say when it says he was tired, he had been on a chait binge, doing all these terrible sins. They threw it all away. Yaakov is baking lentils because the same reality of death for him is thinking about, okay, I got to think about what Avram gave over to Yitzchak and how Yitzchak's going to give it over hopefully to me and now I'm going to give away after that. And he's trying to get himself in the right place for that. Continue looking on page 34. The Gemara in Shabbat, Kuf Nun Gimel, based on the Mishnah Novus, Rabbi Eliezer there says, Shuv Yomecha Befnei Misascha. Do tshuva the day before you die. Tabitha ask Rabbi Eliezer, does the person know what day he's going to die? He goes, then for sure he needs to do tshuva today because you don't know how many days you have. Right? Death can cause you to see life as insignificant or can cause you to see life as something you need to take advantage of every moment. And I think this is Pshat. I think we're in Brachas Daf Yud where it says that David HaMelech said Shira at five stages in his life. Five Baruch Yinafshis and Baruch Yinafshi. The first is when he was in his mother's womb and he was such a high level. He could say Shira even in his mother's womb. Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, you ever heard of him? One of the big Datilu Bini Rabbanim. He founded the first Yeshivas Bnei Akiva. In Kfar Roy, the first Tzioni Yeshiva. So he said that when Rav Kook was 1.5 years old and still nursing from his mother, who used to say brachas. He was so advanced as a person, he was already, you know, conscious of that. In any case, so David HaMelech said Shira b'mei imo. He said Shira when he was nursing. He said Shira when he saw the fall of the Rishayim. And he said Shira when he saw the day of death. Nistako b'yolamisa b'yomer Shira. The obvious question is, why would anyone say Shira about death? The answer is that the reality of death gets us to properly appreciate, if we do, you know, the limits of life and what we need to focus on while we're still alive. So these are very important psukim here in the beginning of Parsha. Everyone talks about the end and the brachos, but you can't read the story of the brachos properly if you don't read the story in the beginning of the Parsha properly, which is why it's at the beginning of the Parsha. And again, just to understand how unique it is, the Torah here passes judgment in a very strong way on Esav. The Torah doesn't do that usually. It doesn't say Chum was a bad guy. It just tells you the story and lets you reach your own conclusions. So this is very important. Any questions on this so far? Okay, so let's continue. Perek Vav. Interestingly, Yitzchak, there's very little, the Torah tells us very little about Yitzchak. And even the Torah of Yitzchak begins with Yaakov and Esav, ends with Yaakov and Esav. Just in the middle, we stoop in a perek about Yitzchak. Anyone has this issue, by the way? Shiva guys. You have sleeves, you figure. Oh, yeah. It's mutter to use this. You shouldn't have to use a tissue. That's like, you know, whatever. But use a paper towel. That's Hamish. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry? Okay, thank you very much. All right. So, we have here this piece. We have here this piece. This one perek about Yitzchak's life and his events. Let's take a look. There was a famine. Emphasized Pasuk Aleph, Milvad Arav HaRishon HaShoyah B'mei Avraham. So interesting, right? It's in context of how it looks, it compares to Avraham. Yitzchak, like Avraham, goes to?
That's right.
First, it says here, Avimelech, Pasuk Aleph. Now, we know that he intended to go from Gerar on the way down to Mitzrayim. How do we know that?
Hashem tells him
not to go to Mitzrayim, right? Okay. Ma'isa Avisim Elabanim, right? He tells him, Gur Baretz Hazot, reside in this land, and I'll be with you, and I'll bless you, in Shkoyach. Right? He gives him great brachas here. Everyone reads slowly, Psukim Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. Great brachas. Everything's going to be good, right? Okay, so Yitzchak settles there. Are things good? Anything but, right? First thing that happens, well, this is expected, is what? The wife snatching business, right? Okay. You say, okay, that's just, you know, Avram's path. You got to have your wife snatched, right? But then, if you look at the next part, Pesach Yudbet, on the one hand, it says, Ve'yizra Yitzchak Baretz Ahi, Ve'yimtzu B'shanihi Me'er Sha'arim. That's why the neighbors call Me'er Sha'arim, like the other neighbors outside of Yerushalayim, began as farms, right? And so, Me'er Sha'arim Ba'yivarchei Hashem, God blessed him. There was, success, right? Ve'yigdal Ha'ish Ve'yir Chalof Ve'gadar Aki Yudam Od. But it only leads to bad things, because what happens in Pesach Yudbet? There's jealousy, which leads to Pasuk Tetvav.
They stop up the wells.
They're stopping up the wells, right? Pasuk Tetzayin. They drive him out of the land, right? No matter how far he goes, they keep coming after him and plugging up his wells. If you're Yitzchak, you got to be wondering, or if you're the reader, you got to be wondering, what happened to the brachas? You know what I'm saying, right? Pshat. Now, what's interesting is, out of nowhere, out of nowhere, Ravi, we were just reading Shlishi, right? Shani and Shlishi. Shani is the wife snatching. Shlishi is the driving out, right? We get to Ravi. Vayam Yishom Be'er Shava. He moves to Be'er Shava. God appears to him and says, I am the God of your father, Abe, right? Don't be afraid because I'm with you. He gives him the brachas again. Now, the obvious question is, why does he need to give him the brachas again? He gave him ready, no? Now, this time, out of nowhere, Avimelech shows up with his boy, Pichol. And Yitzchak asks the obvious question, Pasuk of Zion. What does he ask?
Why are you?
Why you hate me? And they say, no, we see God is with you. The first time you didn't see God was with you, and I was in Me'er Sha'arim, I'm from Guy, no? What happened? Everyone understands the question I'm asking? Why did the brachas not work the first time, so to speak, and only work the second time? What's the difference between the first part of the story and the second part of the story? So, there are a lot of suggestions made for this. One, which I've heard quoted in the name of Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, is that the problem Yitzchak had in the first part of the story is that he was just trying to imitate Avraham. And when you're just trying to imitate your father, it doesn't go well. In the second part, it wasn't. No, no, no. I think that's a difficult pshat. I'll tell you why. First of all, if anyone was presenting Yitzchak in light of his father, it was God and the Torah. So you can't blame Yitzchak for that, right? Already in the first pasuk we saw it's being presented that way. How do we see it in the first pasuk? Okay, yes, that's the Torah. That's the Torah written by men. It's no good. But look how God spoke, right? Look how God spoke. I'm just pasuk A. Why am I going to give you the Ekav Shishal Avram Bekoli? So you want to blame him? Seth, I was joking about the Torah being written by men. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what they say in other schools besides MTA? You've heard about this, right? Okay, well, just checking. Okay, yeah. Anyway, you just looked a little shocked, you know. Yeah, okay. Just to clarify, you know. Torah was written by God. Actually, it was written by a man, you know. It says he wrote it down, right? Just came from God. Okay, just clarify. Okay, yeah. Look, today everything needs to be clarified. Marriage is a man and a woman, and we have to go through all these things. First mitzvah, you know, Hashem lekecha, we should talk about, you know, we should clarify. Okay. Okay, yeah. So, and even afterwards, when Ke'ilim, he was doing the right thing, it's still, look at the brachas the second time, Pesach of David. It's still father complex, right? So I think the answer is a little bit different, which is Yitzchak is clearly following in the footsteps of his father. You go to Gra, you go to Mitzrayim. I don't think he's saying, Avimelech, please steal my wife, I want to be like my dad. But you know what I'm saying? Everything is very much, you know, along the same lines. But there's a difference between doing the same things and accomplishing the same things. And I'll explain what I mean. What was Avram's big deal? What was he doing? What's he doing in the world? What? He's spreading the word of God, right? How does the Torah describe it? Hashem. You know, he's Billy Graham. He's in for your time. Shlomo Kalban. He's spreading the word of God, right?
Ken.
He's good. Look at the first part of the story and tell me where Yitzchak is spreading the word of God. And I think the pasuk where you see it missing the most is pasuk Vav. God gives him the promises. Like, how did Avram respond when God gave him these promises? Let's look back at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Let's look back at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, okay? What does Avram do every time God gives him promises? He gets to Eretz Yisrael, what does God tell him? We're in Ying Ying Pasuk Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Zayin. V'yivan Hashem Avram V'yom L'zachem T'yit Aretz Yisrael. What does Avram do? V'yivan Shem Mizbeach L'Hashem Anirai Elav. Then he goes to another place, Pasuk Chet. V'yivan Shem Mizbeach L'Hashem V'yikru V'Shem Hashem. What does Yitzchak do? Perek Chav Vav Pasuk Vav. I don't think it's staying versus moving. God told him there. Right? Gur Baaretz is out. He's not doing anything with it. Now, I don't want to get into Yitzchak's head. Who am I to get into Yitzchak's head? That was Avram. Okay. And you know, he's Gur Baaretz, different kinds of people, right? But the question is, this is a very important issue. What about Avram's legacy is the legacy, and what is who Avram was? Well, if Avram liked Cheerios, doesn't mean Yitzchak has liked Cheerios, right? If Avram may need those gvura, it's chesed. Doesn't mean Yitzchak's mean it's chesed, right? But so what is the core? We're going to find that out now with Yitzchak. And the best way to see it is to compare the conversation between Avimelech and Avram, the conversation between Avimelech and Yitzchak. And I think it helps explain the different outcome in the story. If you look at page 35 in your handy dandy, so first of all, you see in the first comparative paragraphs, you know, about how they respond to God's promises, right? The lack of the Mizbeach, Kriya B'Shem Hashem. Now let's look at how they respond to Avimelech. We talked about Avram's very strong response, Perachof Pasukin Aleph, Ki Amarti Rakein Yokim Lekom Azeh. He talks about how God took him from his father's home and he's following the way of God. What's Yitzchak's response? Perachof Hei Pasuk Tes. Ha'ikra Avimelech Yitzchak V'yomer Achi Neish Tachai V'eich Amarti Achotihi V'yomer Lev Yitzchak. What's missing? You're at the lakim. It's a God thing. You lack morality. He's not taking the opportunity to preach. And I think this explains very well the difference in Avimelech's reaction to the two of them. Avram has identified himself as a man of God, and Avimelech knows that to be the case because God just intervened for him, right? Avimelech shows tremendous respect for Avram, offers him the land, gives him presents, Pasuk Zayin, davens on his behalf, and Avram becomes like a respected person there. With Yitzchak, you know, the issue is resolved and his wife is returned, but they're jealous of him. Why? Because he hasn't set himself up as something higher. He set himself up as just a joke who happened to have been afraid of you. So there's no reason they shouldn't have been jealous of him. A very powerful Gemara in Brachos, in the bottom of page 35. When the Gemara asks, how come there are some tzaddikim who are the sons of tzaddikim who God gives sechar to, and there are tzaddikim, the sons of tzaddikim, who don't get any sechar? So the Gemara says, just being the son of a tzaddik isn't enough. You have to be someone who's oches maase avoteim biyadeim. You have to continue a legacy. So just to be the son of and do the same things as, that isn't enough. Where's the turning point? Where's the turning point in the story? The Torah tells us in great detail about all the wells Yitzchak dug and all the names of them. There's one name that's qualitatively different than the ones that came before it. Why is Rehovot unique? And the other one people remember. Let's look, Pasuk Chav Bet. Vayatek misham vayachpor be'eracheret v'lo revu aleha vayikra shmo Rehovot vayomer ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu ufarinu ba'aretz. This is the first time we hear Yitzchak mentioning God's name. The very next Pasuk, Hashem comes to him and gives him the brachot again. And Yitzchak's response now in Pasuk Chav Hey as opposed to Pasuk Vav. Look inside. Yitzchak's response now in Pasuk Chav Hey as opposed to Pasuk Vav. Right? And now, after Yitzchak has been called B'Shem Hashem, the dudes show up, and Yitzchak says, you hate me, why are you here? Pesach Chet. We see that God has been with you, we want to make a treaty with you. What causes them to see that God has been with them now as opposed to before, even though before God was with them too, right? What causes it now? Yitzchak is attributing it to God. He wasn't doing that before. I'm sure Yitzchak believed it was from God, right? But he wasn't talking about it. Talking about it, attributing to God, associating yourself and your successes with God is a critical part of the Jewish legacy that we learn from Yitzchak as the first test case, right? That's an important thing we talk about, you know, our lives as Jews. You know, Chabad, they're always talking about God. They're trying to get people to do mitzvahs. We're like, oh, we don't do that. I don't know who would Avram be if he was alive today, right? He'd probably be on the Kiruv team. SOJ! Who runs SOJ? Oh, SOJ. Get a shout out for SOJ?
Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. Jews, baby. Any questions about Perich Hovav before we turn to Perich Hov Zayin?
Ready?
Yes.
I'm just curious, why is it important to mention the story of, I guess the story of Yitzchak and Avimelech right over here. Sorry, Avimelech over here, and not, I guess, before the story of the kid being born.
All the stories of, you mean the whole parak, mention that.
Yeah.
Why is this parak here? So I'm saying it's interesting, the stories about Yitzchak, the told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, begins with Yaakov and ends with Yaakov. It's presented more as the transition than about himself. Yitzchak is definitely not, right, not focused on the way we focus on Avraham and Yaakov. It's more about the transition. Talk about why, I can talk about where, right? So, you know, Yitzchak isn't always appreciated. We learned that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah about him being the one who saves the Jewish people because of that, you know, that real commitment to God, but it's not expressed as much in new actions and etc., right? So Rav Huttner used to say, Avram was the first Jew. Yitzchak was the first person born as a Jew. Which is a different kind of thing, right?
He was FFB.
He was FFB, yes. Not just FFB. He was KFB. Kodesh from birth.
Cool. Like
Yirmiyahu. Like Yirmiyahu, yeah. Okay. Maybe we can call it PFB. It should be PBB. PBB is the best description. Predicted before birth. You know, God called it, right? In the fantasy league, I mean, God called it, right? Mamish. Yes.
Can we assume that it's mentioning people going again to connect it back to the story of Avram?
You tell me. Maybe.
Hey,
that was the name of the general. We want to tell you that the general came to show that the respect
but
for Yitzchak.
And then all the rest of the people.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. Okay. Now, we're up to one of the most controversial stories in the Torah, the Bracha story, right? Now we're going to see some interesting stuff. You want to see interesting stuff? Now, Pashup Shah, Yitzchak calls an Esau. Says, yo, Esau, I'm going to die, so you know, I want to give you a Bracha, right? Give me food. Now, the give me food part I talk about in other contexts, but it's basically, if I'm going to give you a Bracha, that God should bless your land, I want, you know, we're going to appreciate the land, right? Okay. Now, Pashup Shah as to why Yitzchak wanted to give Esau Efsir of the Bracha is that...
He thought he was the best.
He thought he was the man. You know, he loved him. We saw in Perek of Eva, yeah, Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayid befev, right? But the problem with this is the psukim right before Perek of Eva. What are we told there? Yitzchak was disappointed with Esav, right? Because marrying all these, you know, the wrong people. So that doesn't mean anything? So I think this is part of the basis of an idea that the Rishonim speak about, which has a lot of basis in the text, and I'll explain what I mean. Everyone knows the brachos that Yitzchak gives to whoever it was, right? Yitzchak, Esav, Yaakov, whatever, right? But he doesn't give him the full story. Let's look at Perek Chaf Ches, beginning with Perek Chaf Ches. It's after the event has happened. Rivka convinces Yitzchak to send Yaakov away to get married. We'll talk about this later. Yitzchak calls him Yaakov and gives him another bracha. What bracha is it? Pasuk Gimel. He gives him the brachas of Avram. I don't understand. No, now he knows who he's talking to, right? Why did he not give those brachas to, in quotes, Esav? Who understands the point I'm asking? So the Sforno says something that others build off as well, and you have it in page 36. Of your handy Daniel, the Rambam, you can take a look. And by the way, when you open up page 36, you'll see the Lashon Bracha that he uses parallel, beginning with V'yitein Lecha. The first time when he gives the first time he gives brachas, he says V'yitein Lekim Bitala Shemayim Mishmane Eretz Rov Dagam Etirosh. You have the Chua Mim Yishtach Mulamim Meivgur Lachech Yishtach Meimecha. Right, that's the first. Same with Berachas Avram. He says the Sforno that Yitzchak wanted to split the brachos. He wanted to give Yaakov the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael. Right, the brachos of Avram to continue the process, but give Esav the Gashmias. He's a hunter, right? And maybe the sense they would, you know, divide and conquer and work together. Kind of like what happened in the next generation. When Yaakov blesses his children, he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to give a super bracha to Yehud and the rest of you, you know, bye. Like it was by Avram, right? We're all part of the Jewish people together. If you want to explain this far, right? This is a suggestion that was made. Now, Rivka understands more. Right? Let's take a look back at the beginning of the parak. Rivka says to Yaakov that Havali Tzayid Pasuk Zayin Vaaser Li Matamim Vaochela Vaavarechecha Lifnei Hashem Lifnei Moti. Rivka adds, you know, the words Lifnei Hashem, which hadn't been said before. Right, you compare it to Pasuk Daled when Yitzchak spoke, wasn't there, right? And again, we already saw the degree to which Yitzchak is using God's name, not using God's name, right? Rivka sees the brachas about passing on something bigger, not just about the Gashmiut, right? So that's point number one, that's very important. Now, point number two. So Yaakov comes in, does the deed. The point is he's supposed to get all the brachas. Esav is not supposed to be part of the continuation. Great. Esav comes in, and you know he hears that the bracha has been taken, and he cries. Right? Pasuk Lamed Vav. He says that's why he's called Yaakov. Yaakveni Zepa Mayim. He took my bechorah, and now he took my bracha. Okay, when we hear that, if we read the beginning of the parsha correctly, we're not supposed to be sympathetic to Esav. He took my bechorah. He took your bechorah because you're not worthy of it. That's just he sold it, right? You're not worthy of it. And he says to his father, end the Pasuk Lamed Vav. Halo atzalta li bracha. Don't you have a bracha for me? Yitzchak says to Esav, I put him in charge. What can I do for you? Esau says, do you only have one bracha? Yitzchak says to him, Hine mishmani ha'aretz basklanatet. Yem moshavecho mital shmai me'al. You should have hatzlacha too. V'al charbecho tichya. Ve'et achicha ta'avod. Ve'ayaka asher taridu farakta ulo me'al tzavarecho. Very important pasuk. First of all, you know, Yaakov has the zgula, you're going to have to live by the sword. You're subjugated to your brother, and when can you be porek all of your brother from you?
Make
off the town. When you make your rida. When you leave. Esav has the ability to have power before Yaakov has. And once Yaakov's there, he has to leave the scene, right? And you see this very clearly. Let's fast forward now in this context to Parshas Vayishlach that told us Esav. Parshas told us a little bit. And then Vayetze Vayishlach deals with Yaakov and continuation of Yaakov, right? The end of Parshas Vayishlach, everyone look at Perek Lamed Vav. Just like we saw in the end of Parshas Chayisar, Ve'ela told us Yishmael dealt with briefly, and then we focused Parshas told us and Ve'ela told us Yitzchak. The end of Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Vav is Ve'ela told us Esav. We finish with Esav in Perek Lamed Vav, and we move on in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, everyone turn the page to Perek Lamed Zion. Ela told us, Paraklam Zayin Pesuk Beis, after we finish with all these in Paraklam Vav, Ela told us Yaakov. Same way. The end of Vayishlach, beginning of Vayishav, is like the end of Chayisar, beginning of Toldos. Let's take a close look at Paraklam Vav at the Toldos of Esav. Okay, the Ela told us Esav, who Edom? It talks about his wives. First, it talks about Pesuk Bet, Esav lakachet nashav mi bnot Kna'an, right? He married Canaanite ladies. They had the following children. End of Pasuk Hey. Eile b'nei Esav asher yuldu lo Beretz Kna'an. Right? Now Pasuk Vav. Vayikach Esav et nashav et banav et benosav et kol nafshav et pesav et mikneav et kol behentav et kol kinyonu asher vachash Beretz Kna'an. Vayelech el eretz mipnei Yaakov achiv. This is what Yisrael was describing. He left from before Yaakov, his brother. Pasuk Chet, Vayeshev Esav b'har Seir. Esav hu Edom, right? V'Ela told us Esav aviedom b'har Seir. His life, his future, is somewhere else. Kasher Torid. You look at the end of Pasuk Lamed, here we have the summary, just like we had the summary of Canaan, we have the summary of Eretz Seir. Aluf Tishon, Aluf Eitzer, Aluf Tishon, Eretz Seir. After we talk about the Toldos in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, we get to the next level, V'Ela HaMelochim. Asher molchu be'eretz Edom. Ve'ela ha'melochim asher molchu be'eretz Edom. End of Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Lifnei melach melech lifnei Yisrael. Esav's control, his hyper, is before the Jewish people get to that stage, right? Be'eretz achuzasam, what's going on there? Esav emphasized Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Aluf magdi aluf yirah melech lifnei Yisrael. Be'eretz achuzasam, where they are. Pasuk Lamed Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Yeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei aviv, as opposed to their own achuzah somewhere else. It's the same thing we saw by Yishmael. Avram sent him away. Pnei kol echav nafal. He falls before his brother. Esav, the bracha he receives is out of sight, out of this area. And that's where it's realized in the end of Parshat Yitzchak, Parak Lamed Vav, before we continue in Parshat Vayeshev with Yaakov in Eretz Megurei Aviv, Beretz Kanan. Okay, that was Parshat Toldos. Next week is Parshat Vayetze.
Dudes.